reality. You don't want to add oil to the fire. In this coming parasha, we find one of the biggest tragedies in Jewish history. The tragedy is not only by the quantity of how many people died. If 1 million people died or 50,000 people died, when you ask people which one of the two is a bigger tragedy, immediately everybody answer, 1 million is much worse than 50,000. It's a much bigger tragedy. Quantity-wise, they're right. But since when Hashem judged the people in the world based on quantity? It's all quality. Could be one Jew equal to 1,000. Evrav Eliashiv is equal to an ordinary person in Shamayim. If that's what you think, you don't know ABC of Judaism. It's written in Shir HaShirim, Dodi Arad Legano Lilkot Shoshanim. Dodi, everybody knows, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes to the garden at full, the garden is full of thorns, full. And all of a sudden there is a rose. Some roses, a few of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pick up one rose. That means the tzaddik, the Talmid Chacham, the Yerei Shamayim. A rose looks great, smells great, influence everyone around. That's the roses. When Hashem pick up one rose, could be equal to 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 thorns. Quality-wise. That's why when a big tzaddik pass, it's kapara for the entire generation. We learn from Bnei Aaron and from Miriam. There's many examples. 24,000 people died. They were all frum. They had Yetzer Hara. They went to the Goyot. 24,000 people died, and it could have been a total destruction of the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom. If not Pinchas that saved the situation, maybe we would not be sitting here today. Pinchas eshiv et chamati. Pinchas canceled a beginning of a Holocaust. If he would not do what he did, who knows how many more thousands would die. Why? Modesty issues. Modesty issues. And I promise you that the wives of the 24,000 people that died, they dress much more modest than the women in this generation. And I'm sure it's a generation that heard the voice of Hashem. I'm sure they had a decent level of Yirat Shamayim. Yetzer Hara, it's Yetzer Hara. It's affected them as well. Let me read to you some of the interesting things. Pinchas is zealous. Zealous to Hashem. Kanai. When Bnot Midyan was machshil Bnei Israel Biznut, 24,000 died. Pinchas got up. He took the spear under his clothes. I guess it wasn't so long. And he went and he killed Zimri and Kozbi, Rosh Shevet Hashimoni and a princess, Goya. If something like this would happen today, it would happen to a big rabbi, let's say, that made a horrible scene with this Goya. And another one, zealous to Hashem, tzaddik, that learns Torah, he loves Hashem, would come and do what he did. What do you think would be the reaction in a frum Jewish world? With the politically correct agenda and all the fake lifestyle and all the modern ideology and the influence of the universities that penetrates into our Torah every day and dominate many of the decisions that we make to the point that we don't even see. To the point that we have in our generation, leaders of community, we invite Christian missionaries to the synagogue to give a speech to destroy Jewish souls. And this is people who went to yeshivot. They don't call themselves reform or conservative. If they call themselves reform, then we're not surprised. So reform is reform. Or another one in Toronto invite a Muslim imam with all the Muslim people from his mosque into an modern Orthodox synagogue, and someone that was inside telling me that all the Muslims guys from the mosque were in a Jewish lady section talking, mingling with the Jewish girls in Ezrat Nashim. Such a chilul Hashem inside the house of Hashem. If Hashem would judge us like the time of Pinchas, I don't know how many would survive after such a thing, after an evening like that in a synagogue. Or many other things that people do. Another one who prays, you know what, and say that it's fantastic development to humanity when people rebel against Hashem and against the law of nature, and he call himself Orthodox. And it's not one or two. It's already becoming a number that you cannot count. Hard to believe what's going on here. So Pinchas made Hashem stop the disaster. And he became a Kohen. He's supposed to be a Levi. He got an upgrade. He became a Kohen. I make a special covenant of peace with him. He has a special VIP card by me. Him, his children, forever. Somebody special. Why? He killed a sinner. He prevented the Chilul Hashem. Everybody was standing right there crying. You know the scenario. Imagine all the Jews are standing over there crying. Today you read in a newspaper that leaders do such things. We don't cry anymore. Get angry maybe, but we don't cry. If we really love Hashem, of course we had to cry. When something like this happened in our communities, immediately the tears should have started falling for days. But the problem is that they're not falling, meaning something is not right by us. Pinchas got a life of eternity. Tarte mashma, not only in the next world, also in this world. There's few opinions what happened. One, he came back in Gilgul of Eliyahu Anavi, Eliyahu Pinchas. There's another opinion, he stayed alive until the time. It's the same one. I don't know how it can be, hundreds of years. Okay. Who Eliyahu Anavi? That is every day among us. In every Brit Milah, Eliyahu Hanavi is coming. That's Pinchas. That's a part of the blessing Hashem gave him. Chazal are teaching us. You can see it in Targum Yonatan, Bamidbar Chafei, Pasuk Yudbet. Chazal are teaching us that Pinchas chiref et nafsho v'istaken meod b'maaseh uzeh. He risked his life severely. Why? What was the risk? One, maybe Zimri would kill him for self-defense. And they couldn't do anything to Zimri. Someone come to kill him, it would kill him. It was without a trial. It's not that it's Sanhedrin, come to kill you, you cannot resist. If a Jew comes to kill you on the street, even if he's right, you have the right to defend yourself. Self-defense. Aba leorgecha, shkem leorgo, even if you're guilty. He didn't say, Aba leorgecha, shkem leorgo, im hu rasha ve'ata tzadik. He didn't say that. So he took a risk. He could have turned around and killed him first. Okay, that's one risk. Second risk, if he would kill him before he started the actual sin, that's a murder. Death penalty for Pinchas. So he took a big risk. He came to do a mitzvah, nichshal beretzach. בכוונת תחילה, intentional murder, death penalty. If Zimri stopped a second before Pinchas stabbed him, meaning he was ready to stab him from panicking, he got up and he stabbed him, also murder. Look how many risks here. Also murder. So it's a very big risk. If he had one thought, which is something personal, not Leshem Shamayim. It's 98% Leshem Shamayim, but 2% for personal reasons. Whatever the reasons are. You know, many times we say things in the name of the Torah and for the sake of heaven, but if we connect, if they connect us to a lie detector, we will find out that there's 20% over there Leshem yourself, not Leshem Shamayim. We are people, we're not angels. So if Pinchas will have 1 or 2% not l'shem shamayim, also murder. If you're not kanai l'Hashem 100%, it's also murder. Chazal saying, someone that is with Aramit, kanaim pogim bo. Halacha ve'en morin ken. That's the law. But if somebody come and ask the rabbi, he should never say that that's what needs to be done. Why? Because if a person come to ask a rabbi, this guy did what he did, and I want to go and do something about it, they're already not 100% zealous. Because a zealous person cannot wait another hour when he sees such an avla, such a toeva. Kanai means with no hesitation. His blood is boiling inside. He has no doubt whatsoever that that's what needs to be done. And definitely doesn't go to ask. That's called kanai l'Hashem. That's Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Bet. We have to ask one question. If Pinchas reached such level that Chazal are telling us there's no one in Israel that is zealous to Hashem like Pinchas. No one. Why he did not inherit the job of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why Yoshua Ben Nun? How can it be? It's on a much higher level than Yoshua Ben Nun, no? If Yoshua Ben Nun will kill Zimri, it would be a very big problem. Obviously, if Chazal tell you Pinchas was the only one who could have done it, that means he's in the highest level. Why wasn't he the one who took Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership place? Why Yoshua ben Nun? Because he was fixing the shul and cleaning the place. With all due respect to his humility and his very humble and his tzaddik, of course, no question asked. But we have someone that everybody admits that is in a much higher level. The same question we have to ask, we know the halacha today is like Bet Hillel. When Mashiach come, it will be like Bet Shammai. Tov. Halacha like Bet Hillel. What's the reason? Not because Bet Hillel is right, necessarily. Can't be that they're always right. Thousands of halachot. Everything they're right. Shammai was Kotel Kanim. Well, it's not a huge Talmid Chacham. There's no chance he was right. Of course he was right. We will find out when Mashiach come. The depth of our Torah and halacha, everything will be clear. So of davar hakol nishma. In the end, everything will be heard. We'll find out. All the machlokot in a Gemara, you know, are all 50-50 machloket. If it wouldn't be an equal machloket, it wouldn't be in a Talmud. There's millions of machlokot. Not everything is in a Talmud. If it's 80-20, there's no point of wasting place on a paper. What? It's obvious who's right. It's machlokot that easily the other side could have won the argument. And since it's so tight, it's maybe 51 against 49 or 52 against 48. It's very, very close battle. We needed to learn in a Talmud what's halacha. Otherwise, we would never know what to do. We needed to know a psak. So if the Gemara say, why halacha like Bet Hillel? Because they are more unvatanim. They are more humbled. Everybody asked this famous question. Since when the truth is determined based on the midot of the human being? A Jew and a Goy are arguing about something. Two doctors. Let's say the Jew is humbled and the Goy is very, very proud doctor. And scientifically, the Goy was right. The Goy won the argument. They made an experiment 3, 4, 5 times and the Goy showed the Jew that he's right. So now we're going to say we don't care. The Jew is humbled. Is a much better human being. He's right. Would you let your son have a surgery by him based on his opinion? Or you would still write the Goy Shachtzan to do the surgery that proved that he's right? Who would you want to take care of your son, Chas v'Shalom, if there's a problem? The Goy Shachtzan, the big shot Goy, or the Jew that is a humble doctor? But reality-wise, in this particular subject, the Goy proved that he knows better. Which one of the two should do the surgery? By the way, they asked this question to Rav Eliashiv. I know what all of you thinking. All of you thinking, Rabbi, we cannot scream loud, but we want our son to stay alive. Well, we worry about it later, who was the doctor, right? What happened if someone comes to you and say to you, I just saved your life. Nice to meet you. My name is Dr. Cohen, but let me tell you a secret. I'm not really a doctor. I'm a faker. I used to be a nurse. I worked here with the doctors for a few years. I got a diploma, fake one. I pretend I'm a doctor from LA. Nobody checked me out. And I'm here, and I'm saving life, and I saved your life. A nice donation would be appreciated. Would you send the faker a donation and appreciate him for saving your life, or because you just found out he's a faker, you want to kill him? So they asked this question to Rav Eliashiv. Do you have to pay such a person, or no? He just saved your life. Faker is not a doctor. Do you need to be a doctor to save life in America? What's the law in America? If you perform a surgery and something goes wrong and they check you out and they found out you're not a doctor, you get into trouble, right? But what about the laws of the Torah? The laws of the United States, we understand. You're not allowed to be a doctor. You pretend you're a doctor, you're not allowed. It's against the law of the United States. But we're not here to discuss the law of the United States. We're here to discuss the law of Torah. Do you really need to be a doctor? If you know that you know this procedure 100%, maybe your doctor was your father was a doctor, and you helped him a lot in a clinic, and you performed it 500 times with your father, and you know just as much as your father. Many times he left you, and he went outside, and he came back, and he always did it. And now someone you know has this problem, and you performed the procedure on him, and you did well. Is it allowed according to the Torah, lechatchila, to do it or no? Rav Moshe Feinstein say yes. Don't have to be an officially a doctor. All the doctors 1,000 years ago in the Jewish world, they went to medical school. They had a diploma from the United States government. Which university the Rambam went to? He has a law, a degree in refuah. He learned from whoever taught him or from some books. And started to perform medicine. It wasn't organized like today. Baruch Hashem, it's organized. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying what the Torah say about it. That's all. So they ask Rav Eliashiv, what's better, a humbled doctor, Jewish, with good midot, or a world specialist with bad midot? He didn't say Jewish or not Jewish. They're a specialist. Could be also a Jew. A humble tzaddik, doctor, that is not as great, or a real serious famous expert with bad midot. Which one of the two we should prefer? What's the answer? Just like Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Better to get the doctor that is not such a world expert, but has good midot. And the answer of Rav Eliashiv was, who knows what's the reason? He didn't say because he's an anav. The Gemara say, why halacha like Bet Hillel? Because the humbled, Hashem gives them bigger siyata dishmaya to be mekaven laemet. So we already give them an advantage that Hashem is more on their side. That's basically what it means. Is it applying to the same, the law of medicine, the same thing? Two doctors, one is very good tzaddik, humble, come to Milyan, down to earth, helping the miserable. Sometimes when you see a bachur yeshiva, he doesn't charge. There's a lot of good doctors like this. I know a few. I'm sure there's many more. And the other one, arrogant, is doing you a favor that he's talking to you. When I was a kid, every time I needed to go to the family doctor, without saying his name, I don't think he's alive now anyway. I'm talking 40 years ago. My mother had the biggest nightmare. A week before the appointment, she couldn't function. It was so scary. I didn't sleep at nights after going to him. We used to go into his office. You're talking to him the entire 10 minutes. He doesn't answer a word. It's like you don't exist. Doctor, should I take his shirt? Doesn't answer. Only one word he used to say. Kof, tishtael. Kof. Is he good? Is he not good? You ask him. Doesn't answer. Like this. Rav Eliashiv said, why do you need the humbled and good midot doctor? Because it's critical to the recovery of the patient. The recovery, it's not only physical, it's mental. When you have a doctor that you count on and he gives you love and attention and he even read Tehillim for you and he says, Hashem Ya'azor, in every other word, let me see what I can do for you, it gives you more motivation from your subconscious to get cured. And when he treats you, excuse my language, like garbage, from your subconscious, you already lose hope. It's very important. Another question they ask, if a doctor is allowed to lie to his patients when his situation is critical, let's say he has cancer, lo aleinu, fighting for his life, and he doesn't know it's cancer. He thinks it's an infection or something. He asks the doctor, what do I have? Tell me the truth. Ani mashbi'a otcha. Swear to me that you're telling me the truth. I need to know. Are you allowed to tell him his condition or not? What do you think? Or you should say, ah, don't worry, it's an infection. Bezrat Hashem, you come out of it in a week or two. No? Did you ever think about this question or no? It happens every day. What do you think you're allowed? You're allowed or no? I'll tell you what's the doubt here. We have a rule that when a patient finds out that his situation is critical, he loses hope. He loses hope, his entire system collapses, and he can die quickly. On the other hand, if you tell him that his life is in a risk and he has maybe maximum a week to live, according to the law of medicine, unless Hashem will perform a miracle, he has time to prepare a will, he has time to say goodbye to his wife and children, he's preparing for his death, he has, the most important thing, he has time to do tshuva. If you don't tell him, all of a sudden close his eyes and die without tshuva, without the will, without saying goodbye, just because you didn't want his situation to get worse. They ask Rav Zilberstein this question. In Israel, it's one of Gdolei Ador. And he said, you can say to the patient, after he made you swear, how can you swear on a lie? Well, it's pikuach nefesh, so technically it would be allowed, but if you can avoid swearing on a lie, how can you do it? So he told him, say to the patients, en lecha sartan. And think about the sartan on the beach in Israel. You know this sartanim? They walk on the beach. Sartan can be translated to two. It's a disease, it's also an animal. On a beach, what do you call it? A lobster? Crab. Yeah, so he said in his mind, when you say, en lecha sartan, have in your mind, you don't have this animal walking inside your stomach. That it won't be a lie. If there was no solution, you're still allowed to lie to him. Going back to Pinchas, we ask this question, why Pinchas did not become instead of Yoshua ben Nun? He was a leader. He was the one who jumped and did what needs to be done. In Parashat Pinchas, Moshe is asking Hashem. It's in our parasha. It's coming parasha. Please tell me who is going to take my place. Moshe wanted his sons to be. Moshe, every leader wants his son to take his place. It's perfectly normal. And even he has, the son has first right, if he's Talmid Chacham. Father is a Rebbe. You are the candidate to be Rebbe unless someone else is much bigger than you in Torah. That's a different story. But if you're just as big, and two people fight for the job, you and someone else, because it's your father, you have the right. 100%. Same thing with kings. So Moshe is asking, if Kod Hashem Elokei Aruchot lechol basar ish al ha'eda, asher yotzi lifnehem v'asher yavo lifnehem, asher yetze lifnehem v'asher yavo lifnehem, ve'lo tiye adat Hashem katzon asher en lahem roe. Moshe is saying to Hashem, don't leave the nation without a leader. Any kind of community without a leader guaranteed to collapse eventually. Problems, machlokot, corruption, fights, lashon hara, the Rebbe died. You need right away someone to take over. Yesterday, not tomorrow. If you leave it one day without a leader, leave the cattle without the shepherd, see what's going to happen. One will be on the road, one will be in a fell from a cliff. I don't have to tell you here. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, his grandson say in his name, that in Charles Schulz once he gave a speech about this pasuk. What does it mean that Moshe said, make this group, this nation, don't make them like a cattle that does not have a shepherd. What is so special about the shepherd with his relationship to the sheep? He has thousands of sheep, goats. The shepherd, does he love the sheep or no? The shepherd loves the cattle or no? If he loves them, why he shechted them? He feeds them, he gives them water, he takes care of them, he takes them to green places that they can eat and become chubby. And a minute later, he slaughtered them. What kind of love like that? With lovers like this, who need enemies, no? Huh? Moshe Rabbeinu was also a shepherd. When one goat ran away, he ran after him, he took care of him. Hashem said, thanks to this, you're going to be the leader. What do we learn from here? That the expectation from the leader when it comes to control the nation, what's the expectation? To be a babysitter, to change their diapers, to have patience for them, to be their psychologist, to cry with them together. The Rebbe from Klosenburg, Tzanz, all his sons were murdered in the Holocaust, all of them. If I remember, it was 11. And he moved here to Union, New Jersey. They came on a boat. On the boat, there were 400 survivors. The Rebbe and 400 survivors. And the Rebbe had one more pair of tzitzis. One on him and one in his bag. And everyone else had nothing. No suitcase, no clothes, no nothing. They're on a boat with nothing left. Just escape. That's it. And he said to himself, now is mitzvah to be mezake another Jew here. Well, I'm going to keep it until my tzitzis will get ripped. Right now I can do another mitzvah with this. So he said to the Jews, I want to make a lottery. And one of you that will win the number, I'll give him my tzitzis. One guy got up. He had one shirt, one dress shirt, all black from dirt. I don't have to tell you, for years he didn't change it. He ripped the side of the shirt. And the other side. He opened them like tzitzit. He said to him, Rebbe, now you're obligated to give me the tzitzit. I have begged with arba kanfot. Everybody else has regular shares. They don't need tzitzit. They're not getting punished for not having tzitzit. I, however, must have a tzitzit, the oraita. He put him in a corner now. What would you do? If you're the Rebbe now, what do you do in a case like that? The guy has a point or no? It could be a dirty trick, yes. Halacha wise, you obligate to give him the tzitzit or no? The answer is, since the Rebbe already announced that he's going to make a lottery at Motza Sfatecha Tishmor, it's also chiyuv from the Torah. He just announced he's going to make a lottery. Everyone have high hopes now. Maybe, perhaps, if he did not say it, and this guy knew he has an extra pair of tzitzit and he would rip his tzitzit and come to him, maybe he will have an obligation to give him. But now since he announced, he said to him, I already announced, so I must give everyone a fair chance. However, if you are so zealous to Hashem, like Pinchas, I'm sure your number will come up in a lottery. 400 numbers, they wrote. Each one got a number. They picked up one number from the jar. Which number came out? His number. 1 to 400. It's a quarter of a percent chance. From 100%, 0.25% chance. It's very, very rare. His number came up. He arrived to Union, New Jersey. He started to be a rebbe there. They formed a community. And one chassid came to him to cry about his only son that died in the Holocaust. And the Rebbe was crying with him for an hour. Then after an hour that they crying together, this chassid said to the Rebbe, wait a minute, I don't understand. Why the Rebbe is crying for me? We should cry for the Rebbe. He lost 11 sons, not one. I lost one. We should sit and cry for you. It's a much bigger tragedy, no? So right there, he hit the table. Chas v'shalom. The Rebbe has no problem, no tragedies, no nothing. So he said to him, but you lost all your sons. He said, who told you it's bad? And he went to a good place. Why should I sit and cry? So wait a minute. So why are you crying for me? It's hypocrisy, no? You're standing here and crying with me, and then for your own sons you don't cry? So he said to him something very important. It's an important yesod. When someone comes to talk to me and cry to me, I get into his head. And I feel his pain. If the pain is justified or not, it's not relevant. Now his heart is broken. Even he lost $50. And he sits and cries when he has millions. But right now he's crying. He's banging his head to the wall. He's suffering. You can call it stupidity. But he's crying. He's suffering. I suffer with you. Like Hashem say, Bechol tzaratam lo tzar. When a Jew is upset and crying and depressed and sad and all that, Hashem is with him. Even if he cries for the wrong reason. Many people suffer for nothing. In Israel, they once had a show. And the memorial day to the Israeli soldiers, all day they showed depressing things on television. What can be more depressing than seeing one death after the other? Young children, 19, 20, 21, families are broken. All day, one after the other. One time I saw someone send me a part of that video. Part of it, a few minutes from the entire hour. They go into the cemetery where all the soldiers are buried with a microphone and a camera, and they interview the parents who sit there. Guess what? There are parents over there that lost a child 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And every day, 9 o'clock in the morning, they come to the synagogue, sit there until 5, 6 in the evening and go home. That's all they do all their life. 30 years. They refuse to deal with their loss. 30 years in a cemetery, from morning to night. No. Then they show one guy, that was already too much. No one can hold his tears when you see it. He showed to the reporter, see, half a day I'm sitting here, half a day I'm going over there for my other son. The boy died in 1 year. In the army, 2 sons I had. One is here, then half a day I go over there. Refused to take it as gzera mishamayim and to move on with their life. If someone knows gilgulim, reincarnation, someone who died, the Aruge Malchut, died Kiddush Hashem, protecting the land, all these kulot that people have when they die because they're Jews or because they protect the land, or you know the halachot. Then he would move on with his life. Either my son is in heaven, or my son came back in Gilgul and he could be as a big tzaddik in yeshiva learning and enjoying life. And I'm sitting here for 30 years crying. Just imagine when these parents will pass, if they'll find out that 2 weeks after their sons died, they born as a baby somewhere else. Maybe they became already the chief rabbi of Israel 30 years later. No, it's a little bit premature, but he became big Talmidei Chachamim. While he was sitting in a show crying for his son, maybe his son was already a big Marbitz Torah in one of the yeshivot in Bnei Brak. If he only knew, of course he wouldn't cry. No, so my son changed his image. It's the same neshama. So after Moshe asked, he said to him, "Kach lecha et Yoshua ben Nun ish asher ruach bo, v'samachta yadcha alav." Ignoring what Pinchas just did, the Rebbe from Kotsk, in Amud HaEmet, page 42, he said that in Rashi, you can actually find the answer to this question. Rashi explained the meaning of the word Elohei Aruchot. What does it mean, God of the Ruchot? Ruchot could be translated to two meanings. One is directions, four directions, west, east, north. Ruchot could be spirits. Ruchot also could be winds. Here, three different meanings to the same word. Let's see what Rashi says. He says, Elohe Aruchot, Lama Ne'emar, אמר לפניו, ריבונו של עולם, גלוי וידוע לפניך, דעתו של כל אחד ואחד. ואינם דומים זה לזה. You know the opinions of every individual. And you know that are not the same. מנה עליהם מנהיג שיהיה סובל כל אחד ואחד לפי דעתו. Nominate a leader that has enough patience to deal with each person's problem. Because one is not like the same. The other. One is rich, crying about his business, went down 2% this year. Instead of 10 million, they went down to 9.8 million. And he cries to the rabbi every 5 minutes, what's going to be? I'm going bankrupt. 5 minutes later, a person called, Rabbi, we have tomorrow to get the rent. Otherwise, we'll be on the street and my wife's supposed to give birth any minute. Another one says, Rabbi, I have a court case tomorrow. I'm facing 20 years in prison. Another one, my son is this. Another one, my daughter is that. Another one, my husband is this. Every second, something new. And a variety of problems, thousands of different kinds of problems. And also the way people tolerate their problems. Yesterday, I got an email from a guy from Texas. I heard that you mentioned in your lecture about a poor guy that needs money for his son. I don't have money for food, but I have a fifth wheel. I didn't know what fifth wheel, I admit. I didn't know what it is. I had to go check in a dictionary. Do you know what fifth wheel is? It's like caravan. Those caravans that you live in. You know, this car, you connect it to your car and you go, it's mamash like a house. You have a bathroom, shower, everything. Fifth wheel. I never know what it is. Huh? Yeah. So he said, I'm willing to donate it to him. I checked, what's the value of something like this? They range, it could be from 10 to 50 to 100 to $200,000, depending how luxury it is. I said to him, I can't accept from you this if you're in this kind of situation. What was his answer to me? It came this morning. You can all come after the lecture and read it. What we say, Nae Doresh Nae Mekayem. You're giving speeches about emunah and confidence in Hashem. When I'm trying to have confidence in Hashem, you're telling me, no, you're poor, keep it for yourself, you need it. Let me deal with my problem. A goy. No. What am I supposed to answer here? Then I ask him, oh, another question. And even if he agreed to take it, how are you going to get it from Texas to New York? His answer was, if there's a wheel, there is a way. Rabbi, you should know it by now. He's giving me Shiur Musar. Chuvot al Vavot. Unbelievable. So Rashi continue. Lo dai. No, Rashi finished. Now he's adding. Lo. Lo dai bekadosh elyon. It's not enough to be an angel and a tzaddik and someone like Pinchas, zealous and attached to Hashem to be a leader. It's not enough. You can be a very big tzaddik. Mikveh twice a day, gilgule sheleg, all day, 20 hours a day, gemara and musar and eating very little and watch the eyes. Parush min haolam, tzaddik yesod olam. You cannot be a leader 1 minute. Someone that is not even half of you can be a fantastic leader. Where does it say that a leader is the most genius one? Leader needs patience for people, to sit with them, to be humble, to cry with them, to do things, to move things, to organize things. What is a leader? It's a clerk, among all the other things. It's a clerk. It's a policeman. It's a judge. It's a psychologist. It's a psychiatrist. It's everything. Also, Pinchas is too zealous. He has no patience for Reshaim. He cannot tolerate sins. Today, you're dealing with Balei Tshuva. You know how much patience you need when you listen to the things that they do? You have to break your head when to rebuke them, when not to rebuke them. What avero to let go? What avero to insist to stay on the spot? It's Isur Karet, but if I'll tell him what's going to happen, he's going to run completely. Am I allowed to wait a week? You have no idea what's going on. There is a book that Rabbi Naki wrote about Rav Ovadia Yosef over 20 years that he was learning with him, Chevruta. He was attached with him many hours every day, and people came nonstop to ask questions. He was clever. All the unique answers that you don't find in the books, you don't find it in his halacha books. It's mamash in Yanim Deyoma. He wrote it down. When he allowed this, when he allowed divorce, when not to divorce, even though the Torah says clearly certain things, you have to consider other things. You know how difficult it is? One guy asking you, Rabbi, the Rambam says I should learn Torah all night, not to waste the night. I want to start learning nights also. And his Chevruta asked the same thing. They both in an enlightenment of the Torah. They want to add another 6 hours learning and sleep only 2 hours. That's it. And learn 20 hours a day, 18 hours a day. Run, the rabbi has to say to the one, yes, and to the other one, no, you must go and sleep 7 hours. You have to know who you're dealing with. Very difficult. Not enough, you big gadol b'Torah. That's why Chazal made it clear. Gadol shimusha yoter milimuda. If you learn in university how to be a doctor, but you never ever had a stage next to a big doctor to see how he performs operations, how he does procedures, you only learn from the books. Anyone would let you perform a surgery? Never. But I know all the books by heart. Everything. Each halakha in the law of medicine I know by heart. I can teach in university. But you don't know how to make a small surgery. Nothing. If a guy goes and work with a dentist 3 months in the office without going to school, finish high school, his father is a dentist. 3 to 6 months working with him in a dental office. And a guy went to dental office, school for, I don't know, 6, 7 years. And they both standing in front of you and you need to have a feeling or root canal. Which one of the two you would want to take care of you? The son that was attached to his father in the office 6 months, or the one who just came out of dental school? Experience. Same thing mechanic. Mechanic from Guatemala. Does not speak a word in English. And a professor teaching mechanic in university but never changed brakes once in his life. His hands like a woman. Clean. Nice. And the one from Guatemala, si senor, cut 1, 2, 3, 20 minutes, all 4 brakes are replaced. Which one of the two you want? The professor that teaches mechanical engineering and all these things in university, or the one who tachles knows what to do? Same thing in Torah, Rabotai. Someone that was attached to a gadol 6, 7, 10 years around the clock and saw how he behaved in certain situations, it's better than learning sometimes 20 years straight. Alacha lemaaseh, Rabotai. So Pinchas couldn't be. Yoshua could. He was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw what Moshe did. The Ramchal is talking about the leader of the generation. אלו הם הרועים האמיתיים של ישראל שהקדוש ברוך הוא חפץ בהם הרבה, שמוסרים עצמם על צונו ודורשים ומשתדלים על שלומם וטובתם בכל הדרכים. A leader, he barely sleeps at night. Non-stop. What's with this family? What's with that? They have matzahs for Pesach. They have this. The kid got into yeshiva. He still doesn't have yeshiva. The girl is not in the seminary. Non-stop. Not just to enjoy the chair and the nice car and the driver. No. And the salary from the government. Leader has to care about the people. ועומדים תמיד בפרץ להתפלל עליהם לבטל הגזרות הקשות. They praying for the people all the time. ולפתוח עליהם שערי ברכה. הלמה זה דומה לאב שאינו אוהב שום אדם יותר ממישהו רואה ואוהב את בניו אהבה נאמנה. Just like a father that for his children is willing to die for them. but not for other people, for his own children, yes. לכן הרוצח בשוגג גולה עד שימות הכהן הגדול. If someone killed someone accidentally, he goes to your miklat until the Kohen Gadol will die. And even though maybe hundreds of people will begin to retail him all day that the Kohen will die, it's not fair. Like this insurance broker who sell insurance on old people and they come and knock on your door. I have a great deal. This guy is 75 years old and he's in a bad condition. If you buy policy on him now, it will cost you $350 a month, maximum a year or two. He goes to Gan Eden and you make $10 million. In the meantime, 300 people retail him that the old man will go to Gan Eden. They all went, I don't know, to where Gan Eden or not. And he's still alive and kicking. You understand? That's how you want to make money on someone else's tragedy. So it says, they're all praying that the Kohen will die. He doesn't care about the Kohen. He wants to be free. Why did Hashem make such thing? The answer, because the Kohen did not pray enough. Maybe if he would pray a little bit harder for the people, it wouldn't happen such a tragedy. Manig nitpas be'avon ador. If he's not mochicham, nitpas be'avon ador. Moshe, when Yitro gave him the advice, the big cases, you take. The small cases, give it to the other dayanim. Moshe changed the words. He said, "Adavar hakashe taviu elai." Doesn't matter big or small. $1 million, $2,000, the same thing. It's a difficult case to judge or not. Bring it to me. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you see here pride in the word of Moshe? We all know that Hashem testified that Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest anav. So it's not open for a debate. Do you think Moshe Rabbeinu was nichshal in gaiva in his life, once in his life or no? Huh? What do you think? Does any time in Moshe's life, 120 years, that he was nichshal in gaiva? Let me read it to you. Amru Chazal, not me. Remember, not me. Chazal. Amru Chazal. Al davar ze ne'enash Moshe. Moshe got punished for that. Sheneemar vayakrev Moshe et mishpatan. And Blot of Chad is talking about. Lifnei Hashem. Umefaresh Rashi. Al davar ze shenatal srara leatzmo. Lomar takrivun elai. I will judge. Instead of saying like Yosef, Hashem is doing everything. I'm only a messenger. That's it. Not that Moshe meant that I do something. For sure, he didn't mean it. But in his language, he said, bring it to me, I'll be the judge. Bring the hard cases to me. Instead of saying, bring it to Hashem. I'm his messenger right now. Or bring it to me and Hashem will judge. Something like that. For that, he was punished. He should have said, takrivun lifnei Hashchina. What do we see? That even when a person speaks something that sounds like gaiva, like pride, even if he doesn't mean it, he's humbled inside. Who am I? Of course it's not, I didn't mean me. Of course I didn't. Hashem, no, I didn't mean that. But you say that and it's already chilul Hashem. People heard it. The same thing by Shmuel Anavi. Samuel the prophet. Shaul asked, Eize bet aroe, where is the house of the Navi, the one who see the mysteries, the future, visions? Shmuel say, Anochi aroe, I am the one. Amru Chazal Shmuel, ata kore la'atzmecha roe. You're calling yourself a prophet, roe. You really can see? You can't see anything. Why? אני מראה דבר שאין אתה רואה. I'm going to teach you a lesson that you can see that the person see nothing without me. What happened? בשעה שאמר לו מלא קרנך שמן, go to the house of Ishai and nominate a king. Each one of the brothers, he was sure it's him. Do you know how many times he got up and sat down, got up and sat down? Everyone walks. They brought the first one. He thought it's him. No, it's not him. Sit. Another one came. He got up. He's the king of Israel. He got up. Imagine what an embarrassment. Gdol Ador, a house of young boys. Everyone who comes in, they bring him in. The Rebbe wants to speak to you. He comes in. The Rebbe gets up. He thinks it's the king. No, it's not him. He sits down. Get up, sits down, get up. He doesn't see. What did Hashem say to Shmuel? It says like this. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, al tabet el mareu ve'el gova komato, ki me'astiu. Don't be impressed by the image of a people. But Rabbi, he had a very long beard. In India, they also have beards. So what? In India, they have beards and turbans. And they all wear white jalabiyas. What does it mean? It makes them holy. Ki kasher yireh ha'adam, ki ha'adam yireh la'enayim, v'ashem yireh la'levav. You can only see and get an impression from the outside. It's never accurate. But Hashem see the inside. 7 times he got up until finally the oil jumped on the hand of David HaMelech. Nathan the prophet was Gdol Ador in the time of David HaMelech, no? Imagine if we had such a Rav today. Nathan Anavi. David HaMelech came to him and he said to him, I want to build a house for Hashem. Nathan didn't have a dilemma. Who is more worthy than David HaMelech to build a house for Hashem? Such a tzaddik, such a neshama, so humbled, with so much suffering. Everyone suspected him, this, that. So he said to him, yeah, he started to give him all the blessing. You should do it, you should build a house to Hashem. Right away Hashem came, SOS, emergency, hey. Who told you to give him all this brachot? He cannot build Bet HaMikdash, he killed people in a war. Who did he kill? ISIS terrorist. Mitzvah or Avera? Mitzvah. You take out the nefesh, it's 100% mitzvah, there's a price to pay. You cannot build a mizbeach. You cannot build Bet HaMikdash. What? Cheshbonot Shamayim. Also, we found in a Gemara between the Amoraim, Rava. He said, Areni keben azai beshuke Tveria. It's Gemara in Eruvim, page 29. Rashi said, Yoma bedicha hava lelerava ve'amar lo letalmida v'ashtatzi li da'ate v'areni mezuman la'ashiv b'charifut lechol mi she'ishaleni. I was in a special mood that day. And he said to his talmidim, today I'm like ben azai. Ben azai, everybody knows he was the biggest shakdan. Mishabet ben azai batlu ha-shakdanim. I saw few shakdanim in my life, in my own eyes. Mamash. 100% addicted to learning. They cannot stop a minute. Not in the learning. In my own eyes I saw. People that cannot stop thinking Torah 5 minutes a day in a bathroom. That's their biggest struggle in life. Before they go into the bathroom, how will I be able now to be there 5 minutes without thinking about the Gemara I'm learning? People in this level. And the Gemara already 2,000 years ago said, Mishab met ben azai batlu ha-shakdanim. That's it. No one is patur mipru urvu anymore. No one. But even today you see people that really it's very difficult for them to be a head of a household, to be a husband, to be a father, because their mind is so much in the Torah, they don't know where they go. Rabben Zion Abba Shaul was like that. He left the synagogue. He had to go 1.5 blocks to his house. They found him many times, 2 hours away in Yerushalayim, by the secular section when people drive on Shabbos, walking like this. And one person asked him, Rabbi, what are you doing here in this area? Where am I? He was so deep into the learning, he wasn't even paying attention where he went. You know the story with Rav Shach and the watermelon, no? You heard that or no? The wife of Rav Shach sent him to the market to buy a watermelon. By the time he came back, he knocked on the door. He had this Gemara with him. And the wife opened the door and said, where is the watermelon? It fell already on the way. He didn't pay attention. He came like this. He was holding the watermelon. He's so deep into the Gemara. When Rav Ovadia Yosef was in his maybe 18, 20, One of the big Ashkenazim, the Gdolei Ador of the Ashkenazim, when he saw him, he got up. He was in a Seuda of Shabbat. Everybody asked, why you get up for this Faradi young boy? He said, this Faradi young boy for sure will be Gdolei Ador. Why? When he was young, he climbed on a ladder to get a book from one of the tall shelves. And he was reading in a book, and he was so deep into the learning, standing on the ladder, he forgot Bechlal is standing on the ladder. He started to walk. He fell, and both of his legs broke. And he came to visit him in a hospital. So, Rabbi, you have time to go visit every young boy who breaks his legs? That's not just a young boy. Someone that learned Torah in such level that he doesn't remember, he stands on a ladder. It's not just another learner. Let's put it that way. We saw the results later on. So the same thing happened to Rava. Unbelievable. Same thing happened to Abaye. Abaye also said, Areni keben azai beshuket veria, arachim lamed. Maase pele we have in a Gemara. A wonder. Rabbi Abba ala mi bavel eretz Israel. Who is Rabbi Abba? He was a student of Rashbi. He wrote the Zohar. Rabbi Abba. Ala mi bavel eretz Israel. He came from Iraq, Babylon, to eretz Israel. Lifnei aliyato itpalel. Ye'er ha'ava de'em ha'milta te'titkabal. Yehi ratzon that whatever I'm going to say in the yeshiva will be accepted by the local chachamim. I'm going to make good impression on them. And the Gemara in Masechet Beitza, page 38, the Gemara say that he said a Dvar Torah. I don't know how it was, don't ask me, but it's Gemara. Everyone laughed at him. Imagine you're welcome to yeshiva. They ask you to give a Dvar Torah, and everyone laughs in your face. What kind of Dvar Torah is this? And you consider a very big chacham. You're not a little kid here. Everyone laughs at him. Tzachaku mimeno. Why the Gemara had to bring such a misfortunate case? Why does it have to be in a Gemara? The Gemara enjoyed to bring gossip, ma. Was it really necessary to write such a thing in a Talmud? First of all, it's embarrassing the name of Rava for eternity, right? Like Shofer Damim. Why Ravashi and Ravina felt that it's necessary to put it in the Talmud? If we would write a book and we write a case like this that happened in the yeshiva, that one Talmud came and all the rabbis laughed at him, everyone will come and ask us to take it out of the book. Come on. It's a Chilul Hashem. Why you have to write it? No? I'm right or wrong? The answer is, the importance of teaching Torah and Musar and the truth is above everything. Judaism is the only objective religion in history. There's more than 80,000 religions and cults that came after the Torah. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Krishna, and so many other cults. Did you ever see one negative comment against their hero in any one of the books? Would you ever see a bad word against Muhammad in the books of Islam? One word against him, ever. You will never find, because it's all a fake from the beginning to the end. Fake, everything is fake. Christianity, you ever saw one bad word against JC? Never. All the missionary cults, all kinds of cults, even cults among Judaism, did you ever find that they will say one bad word against their leader or against their rabbi or against their whoever runs the show? Ever. Never. Why? It's all fake. The Torah, full of Lashon Hara. David HaMelech, Lashon Hara. Shlomo HaMelech, Lashon Hara. Chizkiyahu and his sons, Lashon Hara. Everything Lashon Hara. Why Lashon Hara? The truth. I got to teach you how to be, how not to be. Korach, Lashon Hara. Clean it. Moshe Rabbeinu. Why you have to write that he's stuttering? You're embarrassing his name. Tzaddik like this, like Moshe. You have to write that he's kvad pen, kvad lashon? What for? Why you have to write that he got punished and he didn't enter Israel? Just change the story like they do in the movies. They make it more appealing to the public. Don't have to tell all the truth. Just say Moshe passed Beseva Tova, and Yoshua the Tzaddik took his place. You have to write that Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem got angry at him. Why? Because it's the truth. In Judaism, you have all the good, you have all the bad. Everything is in front of the people. Why? Same thing. One person asked me once, how do you know for sure that Rashi knew everything? He really believed that Rashi, all his Tirgum was all 100% accurate? Maybe he made mistakes. After all, rabbis make mistakes, no? So I answer, what would you answer about something like this? Wait, don't, not you. I want to ask you a question. If now, if now, I would take out the Sefer Torah and put it right here, and each one of you will have to hold the Torah and say, in the name of Hashem, I swear on my life that Rashi never made one mistake. Would you do it? Huh? Rashi is a malach, but malachim also made mistakes. We saw in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah say he made mistakes. Rabbi Akiva made mistakes. The Torah is full of it. It's very good because you see that there are people after all. And they have choices, and they did 99.999999% perfect, and there's a little tiny things here and there, which is very good. It makes them human. If they can never make one mistake in 120 years, then you know it's not a human being. That's it. There's no test here. So I answer that person, few times in the Talmud Rashi say, "Velo yadati mahi." I don't know. He wasn't a show-off. I promise you, Rashi could have smeared something over there. We will all be convinced with his knowledge, right? No one would know that it's not the MS. But few times he wrote, I don't know what it means. I don't know why it's written. I don't know why there's an extra word here. You saw, I'm sure you saw what I'm talking about. From here you learn that all the other times it was 100% sure. Very interesting. So now this is, listen to this. Why they brought this story in the Gemara that Rabbi Abba came to Eretz Israel and they laugh at his Dvar Torah? The Chatam Sofer, Shut Chatam Sofer, Or HaChaim, Reshchet. This is what he wrote. Chata b'tfilato. His prayer was incorrect. What was incorrect? He asked, Yi Ratzon, that my words will be accepted among the Chachamim. That's not how you pray. The truth is above your words and about your reputation and about if people will accept what you say or not. You had to pray differently. What do you have to say? Emor dvarcha leshem shamayim. Ma lo im yekabel im lav, the Chatam Sofer say. Like the Rambam say, if I have to say the truth, for the price of one superb Jew will become closer to Hashem, and 10,000 fools will go further away, I will say the truth for the one superb Jew and make him better, with the price of 10,000 people go further away. They get angry. Rabbi, don't be fanatic. You're too extreme. You don't have to say everything. You're going to turn them off. You know all this politically correct nonsense. Like they know better than Hashem what's to write in the Torah and what's not to write. So today we have people that half of the Torah, they put, what do you call it? This white, they cover it. White out, yeah, white out. Some psukim are not, even when they print books today in America, many parts of the holy books they cut out. They don't translate. They don't translate. They decide that it's not good. So you should say, help me to always say the truth. Hold me, that's it, not to move from the truth. What happened after? It's not my business anymore. אך יהיה ויכוח להעמיד ספרתי ודעתי על פי שכלי באופן מה שחברי טען נגדי. הרי במחשבתי אם כנים דבריו אחזור בי. If I see my friend is right in the argument in the Gemara or in Halacha, I should be the first one to admit. It's a great way
to be a person that admits that your friend is right in an argument, especially when it comes to Torah, because otherwise it's bitul Torah. Two guys can sit in yeshiva 3 hours arguing, 1,500 books on the table. One reason, gaiva, nothing else. Who's going to win the argument? One of them already know 2 hours ago that he's right. Connect him to a lie detector. You see, the machine will break. But he still argue. Why are you arguing? He's only 3 years in yeshiva and I'm 10. I can't admit to him. Everybody else will say that he passed me. He's better than me. That's how it goes. You want to be right. You don't want to say the truth. As long as I'm right in the eyes of the people, they take my side, I'm good. But what about the emet? The mitzvah of Pinchas, as you all know, prevented the life of tens or perhaps hundreds of thousands of Jews. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin pay bet. In Midrash Bereshit Rabbah, this is what it says. Lo nitnu ha-mitzvot ela kedei letzaref bahen et Israel. One of the purpose of the mitzvot, to purify the nation of Israel. שכל תכלית המצוות כולם הם לזכך ולצרף את ליבו של האדם, להיות מתקרב יותר אל האמת בשלמות מעשיו ומחשבתו. The entire purpose of all the mitzvot, to make you a better person, to purify your mind, your soul, your neshama, that you will be able to be closer and closer to the truth. חותמו של הקדוש ברוך הוא אמת. The אמת is above everything. רחמנה לי בביי. השם wants your heart. עיקר העבודה, עבודת השם היא עבודה שבלב. If you're just a robot that keep mitzvot and learn daf yomi because you have to, but your mind is in a business, that's not עבודת השם. So it says like this. דרור יהל is asking, why it's halakha ve'en morinken? Why don't you say to the people, if you see a Jew with a shikse, go and do what Pinchas did? Because we cannot read the mind of a person and what goes through his heart when he has to come and kill the sinner because he's zealous. Because if he has one little tiny movement away from being zealous, which is for different reasons, kechut ha-se'ara, that drop is not 100% Lashem Shamayim. Then everything collapses. And from a mitzvah, it becomes one of the biggest sins. From here we learn how important it is la'avod et Hashem belev shalem lelo netiot misibot ishiyot. You ask what Hashem wants from me, I'll tell you today what Hashem wants from you. Not to be a politician. Politicians say what people want to hear. They come to the Israelis, you have the right to defend yourself. They go to the Palestinian murderers, we cannot believe what the Israelis are doing to you. A minute later, and they live with that. What do you expect me to do? I'm a politician. Hashem doesn't want us to be like them. 1 minute say this, 1 minute say like this, because it depends what you need for it. What's in it for me, Rabbi? What will I get from it? If there's something for him, he's willing to try. If not, he doesn't want. It's written in Sefer HaBrit, ודרשתי וחקרתי היטב בכל לבבי. I checked and investigated with all my heart לדעת סיבת אריכות הגלות. Why the exile doesn't end? 2,000 years almost. People keep Torah. People learn Torah. People keep mitzvot. Many people keep Shabbos. Million Balei Tshuva. And the situation gets worse. We lose parts of the Holy Land. Cancer epidemic. Almost every family is a victim. So many kids die from drugs. So many divorce cases. So many tragedies. Go stand one day in a bed din, anywhere you want. Any Orthodox bed din. Stand there one day and see what's happening there. One day, see what the Dayanim has to listen to. Then you understand in what spiritual holocaust we live in. Not physical. Physical, Baruch Hashem, mansions are popping everywhere. I'm talking spiritual. So he's asking that question. מרבית העם לומדים, פוסקים, קבלה, משניות, ובכל זאת לא בא לציון גואל. The Savior is not coming. והרבה אנשים בדורות אלו התחזקו בתפילה בכל כוח ועוז. Some people davening, books, drashes everywhere. Millions of drashes in the internet alone. Millions, literally. Every speaker has hundreds, some thousands. Multiplied by thousands of rabbis and speakers. Millions of speeches. וגם אלה צועקים ואינם נענים. תהילים reading, הפרשת חלה gathering, all kinds of צומות, תעניות, קבלת עול מלכות שמיים. הרבה אנשים עוסקים במצוות, צומן נגמחים, גמילות חסדים. Jews מלאים מצוות כרימון. And the Geulah is not coming. If after all this we did not have the salvation, what's left for us? I ask, maybe you have the answer. If Mashiach won't come now, in 20 years, in the next generation, will he have where to come for? What to come for? The way the girls and the boys and what's happening and of the Derech epidemic and the drugs epidemic and the divorce epidemic and the Jewish family, besides the real Bnei Torah, has no future. The way the statistic here is very depressing, very depressing. Much no future with the internet, with the cheating, with what's happening, with the lack of modesty, with so many things. So there is, the Mashiach has what, where to come for what? If now, when we need him so desperate to save us before everything will be over, if he's not going to come, so what is it going to help when he comes? It's going to be 100 people that are perfect. What's going to be with all the rest? It's written clearly, Uva leZion goel leshave pesha beYaakov. The Mashiach is coming for the Baalei Tshuva, even from birth, that doing tshuva and checking their way every day, every week, for them, the Mashiach come. We're all Baalei Tshuva. Doesn't matter, even if you're the chief rabbi of the world. We have to make tshuva every day, ma. It's not only someone that used to be a goy and became a tzaddik is baal tshuva. If you're a big rebbe, you don't need to do tshuva every day. The greatest people in history were doing tshuva every day. David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashbi, Rabbi Akiva, Cheshbon Nefesh every day. Slichot, Tikune Chatzot. The Ari HaKadosh, just read his biography, see what kind of life he lived. Cheshbonot Nefesh. Rabbi Yochanan lost his wallet with Rish Lakish. He couldn't learn. Some people think foolishly. You see, even the rabbi care when he loses 200 bucks on a ticket. Can focus on the learning. That's Amaratziut. Amaratzo, that's how they think. Why Rabbi Yochanan couldn't learn? Because he lost $200 in his wallet? And if there was 1,000 or 5,000, that would bother him in the middle of the learning. Even Baal Tshuva, 3 months in Yeshiva, once he gets into the learning, he forget about the wallet. Until 1 p.m. When he gets up, he remember now he lost the wallet today. Fine. But the 3 hours in the learning, he's thinking about the $200. What do you want to say? Rabbi Yochanan is worse than a beginner Baal Tshuva? So why Rabbi Yochanan couldn't learn? Because his level of Yirat Shamayim was so high, he could not focus. Maybe I'm Baal Aveira. Any surim belochet. Nobody lose a penny unless you deserve to lose money because you either stole or you made a damage to your friend's property or you charge interest or you made money in an illegal way whatsoever. Now Hashem took away the money from you. That means I'm guilty of something. It drove him crazy. What have I done in Dine Mamonot that I deserve to lose $200? That's all. Can learn. I'm focused. I'm doing Cheshbon Nefesh. It's more urgent now than learning. With all due respect to the Gemara, If I am Baal Avera and I don't know which one, I won't learn even a year until I find out what I've done wrong. What's the whole purpose of learning? To fix the Averos, no? What's the point? Just learning without doing Cheshbon Nefesh? When Rish Lakish went and got him the wallet, he started to learn, Baruch Hashem, it was only a test. I'm not guilty of anything. Now I can learn. Meaning, if you didn't find me my wallet, who knows if I'll be able to learn Bechlad? Ay, 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 ay. Just before we finished, the conclusion of what he says, Sefer Abrit, I skipped some. You can see it there. It says like this. When we finally do, we're not doing it right. Do you understand? I'm going to read to you word by word. En mechavnim batora utfila umitzvot shelahem ki im letovat atzmam. How many people are religious because they're only afraid what's going to be with my parnasa if I become a goy? That's really what motivates them. Hashem will punish me. I don't want to lose what he gave me. That's Lashem Shamayim. That's very selfish. How many people are religious because they're afraid what the community will say? Put them on the island for 6 months and see how they look 6 months later. You'll see right away. How many people come to shul because they're afraid that the rabbi will ask, where were you? I have to tell you what people has in their mind. I'm talking what he says, not mine. המצוות שלהם לטובת עצמם, לתועלתם בלבד. Nothing about Hashem. Only for me. How many people are afraid to be מחלל Shabbos because it's a karet punishment? מות בעולם הזה, יומת לעולם הבא. You don't want to lose your eternity. Smart, ברוך השם. You're not dumb. Many people are dumb. They know what's going to be their end and they're still מחלל Shabbos. At least we're not so dumb, but we're still selfish. You know what it means, a real Yerei Shamayim, that if Hashem comes to you now, when you go home, Moshe, Yitzchak, Avraham, Yaakov, I'm giving you a free visa here. Pass. Free pass. Take it. No, what? You're dismissed from all punishment in the Torah. They don't apply to you. Here, signed by Hashem. Take. You're never going to get no sickness, no money lost, no problems with the children, no problem with the marriage. You dismiss from Bedin Shel Mala, and you come, you show your visa. Immediately you go to a nice place in heaven. Feel free. Loosen up. Don't be so uptight. You're free. You have a guarantee. How many people will stay religious another month after that? The same level they are now. When they know no more punishment. Hashem promised me. Hashem is not a liar. Like, give me a pass. You dismiss from all complaints. How many people would still say, wait a minute. I'm not religious for what's in it for me, or if I get a reward, or chas v'shalom a punishment. That's the emet of Hashem. Hashem said that's the correct way. For the creation, for your neshama, for the whole world, for the future, for olam haba. It's all one very sophisticated system. This is the right thing to do. Forget reward and punishment. It's a candy. It's incentive to wake us up. Forget about this for a minute. But what about the truth? What about the emet? Rav Steinman was in a plane with Rav Shimon Glick on the way from Toronto back to New York. Rav Shimon Glick said to the pilot, go down on the Niagara Falls very close. I want Rav Steinman to see the Niflaot HaBoire. But Rav Steinman was sitting on the other side of the plane, not where the falls were. So he said, Kvod Rav, please come to this side. I want to show you one of the wonders of Hashem's creation. It's unbelievable amount of water, how Hashem made such thing. Rav Steinman got up. He walked 2-3 steps, and he stopped. Kvod Rav, here, to the window. He turned around, he went, and he sat back in his chair. He didn't see the Niagara Falls ever in his life. He was 2 steps away from seeing it. He asked him, Kvod Rav, what happened? We went all the way down. We made another circle. We came much low. Lower than what's allowed, probably. They asked him, why you didn't look? He said to him, when I got up, I started to walk, and then I started to think, why am I so anxious to run to see it? Because I'm an admirer of Hashem, or out of curiosity? They got me curious. What the amount? We are people, we have curiosity. I came to the conclusion that it was only curiosity, not to admire Hashem. For curiosity, I better not look. Cheshbon nefesh every minute of 105 years. Cheshbon nefesh every minute. One time he said to his shamash, I see how you fix the suitcase. It's better than any shiur musar. What can you learn by the way your shamash fixed the suitcase? Put the slippers, take them out, put the pajama, take it out, try this, put the book, move it like that. You have to take advantage on every detail in life. Like this, like that. No, like this is better. Cheshbon nefesh every second. Every second cheshbon nefesh. Oy la oznaim. In this haftarah, remember on Shabbos, haftarah. הלוך וקראת באוזני ירושלים לאמור, כה אמר השם, זכרתי לחסד נעורייך, אהבת כלולותייך, לכתייך אחריי במדבר, בארץ לא זרוע. First of all, it didn't say, לכתך אחריי למדבר. It should have said, זכרתי לחסד נעורייך, לכתך אחריי למדבר. Those of you who agree to walk after me to the desert, meaning out of Mitzrayim after the Holocaust was over, 80% refused to go acharai lamidbar, and they vanished in Makat Choshech. So the 20% that agreed to walk acharai to the desert, I remember this great choice. 80% of your brothers didn't choose. So I admire your choice. But it didn't say that. It said, "Lechtech acharai b'midbar." Why is it? Because when they're already in the desert, it's real. When someone said to you, we're going to a horrible place. Wow, you have no idea. It's so hot and so humid. And there's nothing there. And there's no this and there's no that. No matter how bad it sounds, it's not like seeing it. When you're in it, it's like me. Every time they invite me to come to a place, I suffer tremendously from the heat and the humidity. It drives me crazy. I suffer so much from it. It takes away all my energy. So they tell me, come to this place. And I already know. I know the weather there. I know. But it doesn't feel bad until you get there. That's when you, like Hashem is making me forget about the torture of the last time. Like a woman gives birth, she forgets how difficult it was last time. Otherwise, she'll never give birth again. Just when I dare and I drip non-stop sweat, as you can always see, I say, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't real back then like it is now. I wouldn't come and all this Bali Tshuva and all this Shabbaton would not take place. So what is this? Listen to this. It starts with complimenting. Navi Yirmiya. The Navi Yirmiya says, I remember how you walked with me in a desert before. And now, all of a sudden, the compliments turn into very hard work of rebuke. Divrei tochecha. What happened? You started good. Zacharti lachesed neuraich lechtech acharai b'midbar. Right? All of a sudden, it changed completely. What does it say? Listen, I'll read to you. It says, after that, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yirmiya, Ma ata roe? V'omar, Makel Shaked, ani roe, da da da. Okay, mitzafon, tipata chara. Later on, we see everything turn into negative. Yirmiya gives a speech to the generation of sinners. He said to them, it starts with positive. That's a very, very good lesson to the speakers. When you come to a non-religious person or a sinner, You don't attack him right away. Look at you, you mechalel Shabbos, you became a goy, look at your hair, look how you dress, look at this, look at that. That's not how you rebuke a person. I heard you're a wonderful person, you helped that guy, he told me so much about you. Your wife says you're such a great father. Find anything good about him. Not lies. You're not allowed to lie. Find something about him. I see in your eyes he's such a good person. I see that you have a good heart. It's amazing how you sat down for 1 hour in a shiur in such a heat. Find something to buy his heart. And then get the hammer and begin the job. Not right away with the hammer. First honey. Come, candy. Like they bring the kids. Pizza. Soda. Finally they come. They have to learn also. So first he say, how much Hashem love you. Hashem told me he admire you for going after him all these years. He doesn't take it for granted. You're great. You're wonderful. And now he begins. I wish you would only know how much Hashem love you. Even when you commit all these sins. And he begins. Ta 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 ta. Machine gun. Otherwise, it will never go into the heart. You can never, ever give Musar to a person unless he likes you. You should know that. And how would he like you? Depend how you look. They call it in English, charisma. We call it in Hebrew, chen. Motze chen. Some people have chen, some people don't have. It could be a big Talmid Chacham, more than the other one, but the other one has more chen. Right away, he likes him. He speaks his language. He's not threatening him by his look. He speaks things that appeal to him. He knows how to get him interested. And in the end, he gets the job done. But the way to do it is first with compliment. Whenever you want to say something bad to someone, you have to always start with a lot of compliments. The only reason I tell it to you, because I know you're a man of the truth. You're going to listen to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell you that. If you don't want me to tell you, say now. Of course, he's going to say, no, say it, of course. I'm not better than you. I'm just telling it to you, and Be'ezrat Hashem, I will also get better. No more ego. Everything broke. You can give him 3 hours speech. That's what it is. If he likes you, no matter what you say to him, he's willing to get. If he hates you, no matter how convincing your words are, he will find how to criticize and not accept from you. You see it today. If he heard Lashon Hara about you, it doesn't matter. He's putting an X on you before you even started. And if he heard wonderful things about you, it doesn't even matter anymore what you say. That's how people are. It's all personal relationship. The same thing when you have a friend and he just got caught doing something horrible. Immediately you run to cover for him. What about Hashem? What about the truth? What about halacha? Right now he's my friend. He needs help. But what about the truth? I don't care. I said to one friend that was defending that guy that wanted to bring the Christian missionary that said that the Jews are parasite. Well, we have to pray for the soul of Hitler. That's what he wrote in his book, in Yimach Shemo. Him and him, both of them. So when he invited him to speak in his shul in Florida there, one friend of him in Muncie went to my house to fight me. Why do you speak against him? You vile. You have no manners. Who do you think you are? And I said to him, forget about who I am. It's not about me. A rabbi is allowed to invite a Christian idol worshiper missionary that put a video on YouTube that his mission is to get people after JC. And they're going to come to the synagogue. And after that, people will exchange cards and CDs with him and be in touch with him. And he will invite them and he will help them financially and pay him $40,000 for his Dvarim Tfelim and Avodah Zarah to speak in a Jewish synagogue in front of the Sefer Torah. And I'm going to be quiet. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not Tzaddik and not Ben Tzaddik and not Kanai and not nothing. I'm a simple Jew. If I won't say anything, I'm not a Jew anymore. Forget about Tzaddik. So, we have a mutual friend. You know how it is. Mutual friend. A guy that likes him and he likes me. He calls me up, come, let's meet together. He's not such a bad person like you think. By the way, I say, fine. We sat, we talked. I gave him some compliments about other things he does. We shook hands. All of a sudden, everything changed. So I asked him one question. He's your friend. You went to university together. Fine. But Hashem should be a better friend of yours. You should care about Hashem a little bit more than him, even if he's your biological brother. If you really likes him, if you really like him, stop him before he loses. For sure, he's Olam Haba. Become Machti Arabim, Mediach La'avodah Zara. If you really love him, stop him. That's a sign of love. Not protect his crimes. In the end, we made peace and we became semi-friendly. At least there was no more war. It's all politics. In the end, it's all politics. Many times you rebuke people, but someone you like very much, you speak to them differently. Why? If you love them, you should rebuke them more than anyone. That's a sign of love. Read in Orchot Tzadikim. Bezrat Hashem, time ran out. I finished my introduction. We're about to start the lecture. No, no, relax. I just want to conclusion of this speech. We won't be zealous like Pinchas, and not even 1% of Pinchas, and not 1/10% of Pinchas. We know that. We don't live in illusion. Even though the Gemara says, Chayav Adam Lomar, Matai Yagiu Maasai Lemaase Avotai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are realistic. We know we're not going to be Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if someone say to you, why? I can be like Yaakov Avinu. Connect him to a lie detector. The machine will break. It doesn't matter what he say. He knows he's not going to be Yaakov. He's not going to be Moshe. He's not going to be Rav Eliashiv. He's not going to be a lot of other people. No one asks you to be Yaakov Avinu or Gdol Ador. All Hashem wants is to fulfill the maximum you can from your potential. That's it. There's no mitzvah to succeed. It's mitzvah to do your best in the same situation you live in. You're born in Las Vegas. To begin with, you have a disadvantage. You didn't grow up in Boro Park or in Bnei Brak or in Mea Shearim. You didn't see so much Torah. You grew up in South Carolina, in Myrtle Beach or in Miami Beach. To begin with, you didn't have the ability to be someone who was born in Mamash and Makom of Bnei Torah. Yeah, we are, Hashem knows where you came from. But at least, are you doing your best? In your situation, you're doing your best. That's what it is. And when you do something, do it because it's the truth. Nothing to do with what's going to be with me. I'll get a job. They clap for me. They'll give me donation. They'll invite me again. Forget about this. This should never even cross your mind. You should really work on it. Why are you doing it? Because Hashem is going to be happy from it. But it may cost you money. You're giving him advice. He's going to go to the place you tell him. He's not going to be anymore here. He's not going to donate to you anymore. You can lose from it. It's not about me. I can never, ever lose from doing what Hashem wants. Can never. No, if a Jew think by doing a mitzvah or saying to someone the truth, I can lose from it, he did not even start to become religious. Forget about tzaddik. Religious? Please don't say you're religious. Please, I'm begging you. You cannot be religious when you think what's in it for me always before Hashem. That's not religion. That's not avodat Hashem. Someone asks you, Kvod Arav, I found a good job over there, I don't know, in LA. I'm going to teach, I'm going to do kiruv, they're going to give me finally a salary, I don't have what to eat over here. I'm going to make mekarev bachurim, teach them how to be shomer Shabbat, but this guy serving you here. He's your right-hand man. You're going to have to work 10 times harder now. You have to do this and you have to do that. He's doing everything for you. You must tell him, yeah, it's good for you. Why? Because it's good for Hashem. What's going to be with me? It's Hashem's problem. I won't be able to do what I did. Fine. First, the advice. I tell you, we finish with 30 seconds. I have a friend. We learned together in Yeshiva. In Monsi. We learned together. One time, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva there, I want to move to Eretz Israel. I'm going to go to this yeshiva in Bnei Brak. of Rabbi Mazuz, Kiser Rachamim, very serious yeshiva, many big rabbanim came out of it. I'm going to learn for Dayanut, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He was teaching in a yeshiva, and he was saving the Rosh Yeshiva a salary of another melamed, he was one of the avrichim. He has Girsa de Yankuta, because when he was young, he was in yeshivot until age 18. Then he went off the derech, and 3-4 years he came back, but he had all the Torah he learned. So he was in a higher level than the rest of the yeshiva. He came to that rabbi over there, and he said to him, absolutely not. I don't give you permission to go to Eretz Israel. It's not good for you. Why do you think it's better over there? What's wrong over here? He came back to me. He said to me, what am I going to do? He doesn't let me go. I said, of course he doesn't let you go. If you go, he's going to have to spend a few more $1,000 to get other people to do your job here. You're not supposed to ask him. He's Nagua Badavar. Go ask another posek. If you want to ask my opinion, tomorrow morning you'll be on the plane and you go in Kiser Rachamim. Very good yeshiva, 10 times better than here. One of the Gdolei Ador over there. Nothing bad can come out of that. You sit in Eretz Israel and learn Torah. Baruch Hashem, he took my advice. Today is the number one speaker in Israel. Makes hundreds of Baalei Tshuva every month. All his videos, his tens of thousands of views. Every one of his lecture, 500 people waiting outside, no room to enter. Imagine if he would stay here, still be in an avrech, teaching five people. That's it. When you give advice to someone, get yourself out of the equation. Forget about it. I'm not a factor here. Same thing with your children. It's good for you. He's going to stay next to you. But it's not good for him. Many people think selfishly. He's helping me in a business. Why you're not marrying him? He's too young for it. No. He wants him to stay 2 more years in a business. He's going to save him another $100,000. But what's in it for him? May lose his shiduch. Every day it happens. It's a conflict between what we want and what Hashem wants. If Hashem will win the argument, we'll be in a good situation. If we'll follow what we want, the Pirkei Avot say, Aser Retzoncha Kirtzono. Make sure, one of the main things, whatever I want, first I have to check if what Hashem wants. And if not, I don't want it anymore. Thank you very much. Kol Tov.
Shame, Egan Shiratar, most of us, and I'd like to give a big yashakar to Rabbi Mizrahi for inspiring.